So to come, Andrew Lee, also Marty Cantor, Lauren Mercado, all that on a very busy program. First, though, some interesting news yesterday, and here to kind of break it down regarding the county executive's ninth emergency declaration tied to the ransomware attacks of September the 8th, is the presiding leader of the 8th District. His name is Anthony Piccirillo, also chairs the committee regarding what is going on here from this attack, all the cyber stuff, leading the way in good, great fashion, I might add. And we welcome the legislator of the airwaves. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Boy, I'll tell you, you get a revelation every other day. And this coming out, yes. You know, remember as a kid in the schoolyard, there was a game called Keep Away. Remember that? You'd kind of be thrust into the middle. You got about 9 or 10 of your classmates, throwing a ball around to themselves, and you're trying to see if anything drops. You go after the ball and whatnot, but in the midst, in between, you're kind of watching here. Clock's ticking. Recess is almost over. All of a sudden, you don't get the ball. Because it's being kept away from you. You got keep away going on within the confines of Suffolk County, legislator Piccirillo. Am I right with that correlation here?
So, yeah, you're right. And listen, government's about balance between the branches. So, since COVID, we've seen executives take executive power or executive authority kind of to an unprecedented level, which I think kind of constitutionally speaking was very murky. So now we have this cyber attack on September 8th, absolute emergency when we started. The county executive declared a state of emergency, rightfully so. But now, we're in May now. The cyber attack emergency has ended, and now the emergency powers must end, and the legislature has to show its independence as a co-equal branch of government. We have oversight over the functions of government, especially procurement. We have to make sure that we defend our right and our independence in that matter. And that's why I filed a resolution on Tuesday. It was committed to the Government Operations Committee, which I chair. And we will debate that bill in committee next week on Wednesday, hopefully get it out of committee and into the full legislature the following Tuesday. And I hope to have the support of all 18 of my colleagues, because this isn't a Republican or a Democrat issue. This is a functioning issue of the legislature to show that we are not a lesser branch of government. We are a co-equal branch of government, and this makes sure that our powers stay intact so that we don't have an executive branch, whether there's a Democrat or a Republican in the executive seat, that could basically run the government without us. So that's what my resolution does.
Indeed. And I say keep away, folks, because, the term limit is up as far as Steve Ballone is concerned. So in my estimation, he is stalling. He's doing the old stall here. And that's what it is. So we'll keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, you got four individuals that will be coming in for questioning, subpoena power and everything else, including the former IT director, Peter Schuessler. It should be interesting in itself. Judy Pascal, county clerk. Should be very interesting over the next couple of weeks, I would think, Anthony.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think we've heard some good witness testimony. Rich Donahue, former deputy attorney general of the United States, who's our special counsel, has done a phenomenal job in his role as counsel to our committee. We did have to issue some subpoenas, but I will, as a civil libertarian, I look forward to defending the right of due process to any witness. We're not looking to we can't charge anybody criminally. We're not looking at any criminality in our investigation. We are looking for how, why, and what happened here so it doesn't happen again. And people wanted to have legal representation, and I will defend their right for that legal representation. I think it's their constitutional right to have it. And we're going to work through the attorneys to make sure they can come in at a time that works for them with their attorney and answer some questions that we have for them regarding the cyber attack. We look forward to having those conversations, a few more conversations after that, but we're really trying to hammer down our first public testimony under oath the first week of June.
No doubt. Piccirillo with us. Friday, There was a great piece in Focal Point. Joe Modio wrote it. I had Chris Coluccio on. And, you know, step by step, we went over all the miscues here of this stuff, including that. And I think this is a key point. Listen, armchair quarterback, hindsight, 2020, whatever you want to call it. But you look at how the county has operated, right, where they announced the hiring as first chief information security officer, admitted that the lack of a standalone incident response plan last year, which to me is the most egregious part of this whole thing. The fact, Anthony Picariello, they had no plan in place, and that has, without question in my mind, contributed to this prolonged recovery here. I mean, there's just so many things, but really, you know, you have to have a plan. You don't want to put a security officer in place. You have to have a plan, and there was no plan there.
Yeah, so, you know, as we're going through the investigation, I would say that's definitely a contributing factor, the lack of a serious plan to deal with an event like this. You know, but moving forward now, you know, we have continuity of government that we have to take care of, and we have government operations that need to take place. You know, we still run a myriad of services throughout the county. We still have payroll for, you know, the almost 10,000 employees that we have. We have to make sure that our law enforcement is fully funded. So as we're investigating the cyber attack and, you know, obviously not pointing fingers, that we're doing a thorough and prudent investigation to find out what happened here, we also have to remember that we still have to run the government, you know, especially with what's going on globally that's now come in front of us. You know, now we're dealing with a potential crisis with displaced migrants. We're dealing with a potential financial crisis from defaulting on our debt. I mean, all these things, you know, could snowball and really affect the county's finances. So I think we have to do two things at one time here. We have to be able to, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. We need to be able to do our investigation, you know, uninterrupted from anyone else in government and let us do what we need to do. But we also, on a day-to-day basis, need to run the government and provide the services that people pay some of the highest taxes in the country for.
And that would include, is it still offline as far as property title searches and sewer bill payments? Is that still offline?
From what I understand, there are a few minor things that are still offline. And that was due to whatever had happened between the recovery effort and the clerk's office at the time. I really can't speak to that because I wasn't part of those conversations, just, you know, what I've heard secondhand. But we will kind of find out what was the holdup there. You know, that's a couple of questions that we have for people. You know, why was there such a holdup to try to get the recovery up and running faster out of certain departments, and it took longer out of other departments? So I think, you know, that's a question that's on a lot of people's minds. It's on my mind. And as we go through our witness interviews, you know, we'll probably get a clearer picture of that.
No doubt about it. You know, everybody says regarding this ransomware stuff, you know what, maybe they should have paid the $2.5 million. I'm not a big believer in that, only because, you know, when you do that, you're vulnerable to more. You know, I mean, if the crooks see, hey, they're paying it, let's do it again, you know. You got to be careful of that. You know, that's something that is certainly up for debate, you know?
Absolutely, you know, and I, you know, if I was in that position, I'm unsure, you know, what would have happened. You know, Steve had to make a decision. He made one, and now we have to kind of move forward from there. And, you know, I think, you know, as of now, we have the county, you know, 90% up and running. Services are being delivered, and we're able to do, you know, an independent, a legislature-led review of what happened here. And I think that's what's really important, to make sure that we have transparency for the public whose data was exposed.
Hey, cyber attacks these days, they're no longer an if, but a when. You know, we know it's going to happen no matter how much you plan. But, you know, having some sort of a breach playbook at the time of it all, I think is key and the most significant tool in anybody's arsenal. And again, you know, just not to be redundant here, the county really had no such plan in place. And that contributed to the amount of time, the amount of money it has taken the county to recover. And then that's really what it's, you know, the county might have had an overall emergency response plan, but I'm talking about specificities as far as cyber is, you know, cyber breaches. That's the key right there, I think. You know, If you have a cyber breach,
and that'll definitely bear itself out during the investigation.
So you'll be covering that. We'll see what happens there. But I tell you, a revelation every other day. One final thought process for you, Legislator Picariello, and the fact that we had the presiding officer on the other day regarding the seekers of asylum, illegal aliens, whatever, however you want to classify it, okay? And maybe Stony Brook is the latest of venues to house these individuals. You know, the county executive hasn't done anybody any favors as far as a hard response here, which is nothing, no surprise there in my estimation. But in essence, give me a sense as far as this is concerned. Have you heard anything relevant or permanent regarding this information?
Yeah, so definitely rumor mill as of now. I haven't heard anything substantive and real as of right now. You know, we heard somebody called me, oh, I heard Dowling College is going to be used. And, you know, I called up our my senator there, Senator White, and my assemblyman down in Oakdale, Jared Gandolfo. And, you know, that was just a rumor. It wasn't happening. It's an inadequate to place people. But listen, it could become a problem. New York City, you know, said, hey, come on in, basically. And now they spent almost $4 billion on this endeavor. You know, $4 billion is the whole county budget. So now just think of the whole budget being sucked up. And as I touched on before, you know, we have a large social service department. We have a police department that needs to be funded, a sheriff's department, corrections department, health department. I mean, it goes information technology department. We have, you know, many, many departments that need to function and need to be funded for the continuity of government to continue. And I would just be very careful, and I've said this, you know, to the presiding officer, and I, you know, I support the presiding officer in his endeavor to hire legal counsel to make sure that we can find out legally what our options are in dealing with an influx of people. Because, you know, listen, the city and the state made their decision, but Suffolk isn't a sanctuary county. You know, I understand asylum is a legal process, but 90% of those asylum claims, or close to 90% of those asylum claims, are denied. So then you have a problem with a denied asylum seeker. What happens after his claim is denied, if he's here or she's here? What happens at that point? I don't think the federal government has made that clear. And I think the federal government has created such a disaster here from, you know, Biden to Eric Adams to Governor Hochul, that now the locals, it's getting spilt on our lap, and we do not have the resources to handle it.
Somebody to call out the administration without question, and stating the actualities in it all. Right, close the border, Mr. President. That would help in a pretty big way. But you know that will not happen. Anthony Picariello leading the way in the eighth.